do.
I can do it.
I can do it.
Whatever it says I have.
Whatever it says I have.
I claim it.
I claim it.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Amen. Father God, I thank you for the opportunity we have to hear your word, to teach your word, and to preach your word. Father God, bless your word and bless those who hear it. Let it not return unto you void as you promised, but let every believer receive it and adhere to it and walk in it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated in God's presence. We are continuing our series of teachings, Miracles Are For Today, confronting the powerless gospel with God's word. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
How many of y'all know there is a powerless gospel out there?
Amen.
Maybe some of you don't know it, but there is a powerless gospel. What am I talking about? I'm talking about churches who tell you that God does not do miracles today. Churches that sit around and tell you that when miracles do happen, that they are from Satan and not from God, because God simply doesn't do that today. As if Satan is allowed to do all the miracles, he's allowed to do all the supernatural stuff, and God, he's supposed to be almighty, but he's stingy and won't give none of his miracles to his children. Amen?
Amen.
That's why people are going to fortune tellers today. That's why people go to psychics today. I mean, psychics have failed time and time and time and time again, and people still go to psychics. I drive down the street and I see psychics offices all over the place. People are going to these people because they can't get it from the church. Because when they go to the church tells them, well, you know, brother, God is in control. What happened to you happened for a reason. We don't know what the reason is, but when you get to heaven, you'll find out, and you'll glorify God for making you go through that. You know, it's a shame. So God can't supernaturally intervene in my life. What is the use of prayer? Well, Pastor Troy, the use of prayer is so that we can be more spiritual and more humble, so we can have more fellowship with God and grow spiritually. It doesn't change things. It only changes you. None of that makes sense to me. Praise God. But this is the kind of stuff that's being taught and preached in churches all over. And this is the reason why churches are having a difficult time winning the lost to Christ, because we simply do not believe that the supernatural is for today. Praise God.
Amen.
Well, I want Victoria's Word Christian Fellowship to be different. I want y'all to expect God to do supernatural things. As a matter of fact, when God does not do something supernatural, then you should be disappointed. Praise God.
Amen.
And instead of saying, well, God has a reason for that, I like to find out, how come you didn't do it for me, God? Praise God. I never blame God. I just try to find out, what is it that I'm doing that's preventing God from moving? See, Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 25 says, your sins have withheld good things from you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Isaiah 59, verse 1 says that my hand is not shortened that it cannot save you. Praise God.
Amen.
But then he goes on to say that your sins have separated you from me. And basically God says, I can't do anything for you because of certain things in your life that's preventing me from doing it. Praise God.
Amen.
God can't bless you if you're going to keep messing around. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But God, and he wants to bless you. And that's why he tells you. And one of the things I'm very sure is that prevails in the church, even those who don't go around committing adultery or fornicating or drinking or things like that, still many of them are in the sin of unbelief. They pat themselves on the back and says, yes, I don't fornicate. I don't even watch bad things on television. I don't smoke. I don't drink. I live a holy life. I just don't believe God's word, that's all.
Amen.
That's the truth, though. There's a lot of people that they may outwardly live moral lives, but they don't believe that God will supernaturally intervene, and they are preventing God from doing the great things. And that's what happens many times. We depend on ourselves and our own power, and then we become Hallelujah. Amen. And then usually those kind of people are judgmental of others. Instead of helping people when they find somebody in sin, instead of helping them out of sin, they go around and judge them and talk as if they are high and mighty themselves. Praise God. And you know what? Although I try to live a moral life, I'm doing pretty good, but I know that at one time I did not live a moral life. Praise God. I know at one time I was steeped in sin just like anybody else. And I'm not talking about before I was a Christian. Many times I did things after I was a Christian. I dare not judge anybody. The morality that I have today comes solely by the power of God in me. Praise God.
Amen.
I depend totally on God to help me live victoriously over sin in my life. The day that I get caught up in thinking, hey, I've arrived, then I'm going to fall. Hallelujah. There's a sin of pride that a lot of don't understand. But you need the supernatural power of God in your life to answer your prayers and even help you to walk in victory and help you in every area of your life. Glory to God. So that's why we're talking about miracles. That's why we dispute the powerless gospel that's being preached all over the world. And we stand on the word of God concerning miracles. That's why missionaries who are taught that God does not work anymore, when they go to other countries and they run into witch doctors and stuff like that, they don't know how to deal with it. Because then they just say, well, that's just superstition. And they're being beaten down by the devil, and they're not winning any of the natives to Jesus. See, the natives in these other countries, they have already been dealing with the supernatural. So as far as they're concerned, if you come there with some powerless gospel, then we don't want nothing to do with you. That witch doctor down there, he can cast a spell and get me healed or get me killed. One of the two, praise God. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to go overseas, you need to go with some power. Glory to Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, we looked at the promise in John chapter 14, verse 12. We started out with that, and we learned that the works that Jesus is talking about in John 14, 12. Well, let's turn there. That's our foundation passage. Let's go to John 14. John 14, verse 12. I think I should have it up here. It says, and we're just going to stick with verse 12. It says, verily, 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 I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. So we learned here that the works that Jesus is talking about has nothing to do with feeding the poor, feeding the hungry, or evangelism. Praise God.
Yeah.
Now, is it wrong to feed the poor? No. Jesus specifically commanded us to feed the poor. Praise God.
Amen.
But that's not what he was commanding in this passage. Now, in other passages, Jesus did command us to feed the poor. He did command us to do evangelism. And this passage is part of evangelism. But the works that Jesus is specifically dealing with in this particular passage has to do with miracles. Praise God.
Amen.
Now, some people will tell you that the works that Jesus is talking about here is the feeding of the poor and stuff like that. That is not what Jesus is talking about in that passage. He is talking about miracles. Hallelujah. We explained that thoroughly. We won't get back into it. The second thing we looked at is the fact that God never changes his mind about his promises. Amen?
Amen.
He never changes his mind. God does not go back on his word. There are some people who will tell you that, well, God used to do miracles, but you know, after the last apostle died or after the Bible was fully written, then he decided that miracles were no longer needed today. Then that means God changed his mind concerning his word. If I can't trust that particular part of his word, how can I trust any other part of his word? How can I trust those passages that talk about that when I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart that God has raised him from the dead, that I shall be saved. How can I believe that part if I don't believe this one? Amen?
Amen.
I mean, he might have changed his mind about that one too. He might have said, hey, yeah, I said I saved y'all through Jesus, but I changed my mind. Wouldn't that be sad? You think you're going to heaven because you read something in the Bible, and now you think you're going to heaven, and then you die, and you find yourself in hell, and you say, ah, did I believe in Jesus? And Jesus said, well, we changed our mind about that one. Wouldn't that be hard? Man, if I can't trust Jesus on one thing, then how am I supposed to trust him on anything else? So I trust him on this. So just as much as I trust him for my salvation, just as much as I trust him that if I die, I go to heaven, I trust him that he said that I can do greater things, greater miracles than he did even now. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let me know you're out there. Don't sleep on me. If you're hot, turn on the fan. But you got to get this word. You need it. All right. We also looked at the fact that faith is required in order to appropriate the promise of John 14, 12. See, because he said, he that believeth on me, say believe it.
Believe.
See, if without faith, you're calling God a liar. See, that's the problem with the people who changed it, who think that God has changed his mind or went back on his promise. Those that in a theological world we call cessationists, or they just believe that the miracle ceased after the last apostle died or the Bible was fully written or whatever have you. They are really in unbelief concerning the word of God. But Jesus said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. You are a channel for God working miracles through. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You and I are God's vessels to allow miracles to flow through. You can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover.
Hallelujah.
The Bible says, these signs shall follow them that believe. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Why aren't people laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover? Simple. They don't believe. They don't meet that. They're not meeting the condition. So you got to meet the condition in order to get the miracles happening in your life. Praise God.
Amen.
But you are a reservoir for God's miracles. Praise God. Now, today, I want to talk to you a little bit about another condition for seeing God's miracles, and that is knowing the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, I don't know, Americans may not understand it so much about the importance of someone's name or the authority that name carries. Praise God. But how many of y'all know that President Obama, his name carries authority, praise God. Now, whether you like President Obama or you don't like him, whether you voted for him or like me, I did not vote for him, praise God. I did not vote for him. I don't care what y'all think. I didn't vote for him. And I'm glad I didn't. Because those of y'all that did, y'all got to stand before Jesus and answer for why. This man, he's doing so many things going against God's work, praise God. I mean, he was just over in Europe telling the people over there that Christian schools cause division. Now, how is that? What kind of thing is that to say? That's why y'all need to keep praying for this man. But that's not my point. I didn't mean to get into politics. It's just y'all better learn to be careful about who you vote for. Don't vote for somebody just because they're black. Praise God. Don't vote for them just because they're Mexican. Don't vote for them because they're white. Vote for somebody who stands as close to biblical principles as possible. Praise God. I never understand how people can vote just because somebody's black. You know, and I'm black. I'm proud to be black. Praise God. But I don't understand how a Christian can vote for somebody because of their skin color, knowing that the person believes in abortion and believes in in homosexual marriage, and people still go out and drove and vote for him. I don't get it. I just don't get it. However, to my main point, I don't know why I started on that, but my main point is that the name President Obama carries some weight, praise God. If he goes into a restaurant and says, "Hi, I'm President Obama," he's gonna get the best seat in the house, you know that? even if the restauranteur didn't vote, if I owned the restaurant, and I, like I said, I didn't vote for the man, but if I owned the restaurant and he came, I would still treat him with royalty, praise God. I would still treat him with respect because of his office. If he came in here and sat down, I would still treat him with respect. I wouldn't let him get up here and speak. but I would honor him in the fact that he's our president, and I would welcome him, praise God. But I just wouldn't let him get up here and speak because he'd probably sway some of y'all to his side. All right, but the name President Obama carries a lot of weight. And so that's only in this natural world that it carries weight. The name of Jesus carries weight in all of the universe, praise God. Amen. Now, I personally don't have the right to use the name President Obama to get any advantage, praise God. I can go into a restaurant and tell the maitre d', "Hey, I know President Obama, give me a good seat." He'd probably laugh and call for the usher to throw me out. Now, the name of Jesus, because I am a child of God, I have the authority to use the name of Jesus in situations and circumstances in my life. Glory to God.
Amen.
Let's look at Mark chapter 16. Chapter 16, let's begin at verse 15. It says, "And he said unto them," let me see if we got it up on the screen so we can, for those who don't have their Bibles, we want to make sure that you can at least see it and read it. All right, Mark chapter 16, verse 15, it says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." How many creatures are we supposed to preach the gospel to?
Every
creature. So how many people does God want to be saved?
Everybody.
Don't believe those people who tell you, "Well, God predestined only a select few to be saved." No. God wants everybody saved. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Churches should be full. Amen. Amen. That's why I will not settle for a small church. I want a full church because I want people saved. Hallelujah. And it ain't going to do me no good stealing members from other churches, because that means that I'm just taking people who are already saved and bring them over here. I need people that are not saved to come into the kingdom. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I hope my screaming and hollering woke you up just a little bit. All right. Now, verse 16 says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that what?"
Believe.
That what?
Believe.
Who the signs follow?
Believe.
Those that believe?
Yes.
Praise God. Now, look at the next part of this passage. It says, "In my name." Say that with me. Say, "In my name."
In my name.
Say, "In my name."
In my name.
Say, "In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Praise God.
Amen.
So then after that, the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God, and went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Praise
Amen.
God. So God says that Miracles are done in the authority of Jesus' name. Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen. I can cast out devils in Jesus' name. I can lay hands on the sick and I can expect them to recover. Because, not because I have some great miracle gift that that works apart from whether Jesus is there or not. It's because the name of Jesus carries weight and it carries authority. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. See, I remember some years ago when we was doing hospital visitation, you know, this is back in the 80s, at the height of the charismatic movement where everybody was so in love with Jesus and it was easy to get people saved. I don't know what happened. I'm praying for the days to come back. Praise God. But we were at the hospital, and I mean, you know, that back then we were just seeing miracles left and right, man. That's why I can't give up the desire to see God manifest Himself in powerful ways. But we were during hospital visitation, and that's also back in the days where people didn't have a problem with Christians coming in praying for the sick. Amen. Now you do that and they get mad and they tell you you're violating their regulations. Yeah, I did that one time. I was with a bishop. We went to go visit with somebody at the hospital and I saw another guy next to him and I started trying to share the gospel with Jesus Christ. The doctor came in and started hollering at me. You know, that is not the right thing to do. You don't bother this man. The man didn't act like, he didn't think I was bothering him. And then they closed the curtain. I said, okay, you know, it hurt a little bit, but I said, you know what, I tried. But we were going to the hospital, and we were just sharing the gospel with people, praying with people that were sick. And then I hear, down the hall, I hear this woman going, oh God, oh it hurts so bad. And so, you know, I looked at the team, I said, let's go down there and see what's going on. So we went into the woman's room. And I asked the lady, I said, ma'am, would you like for us to pray for you? Oh, yes, please. Oh, I'm in so much pain. Oh, God. And so we gathered, you know, we grabbed hands and we began praying for her. And then the Lord told me, loose their hands, point at her stomach, and command that evil spirit that's tormenting her to get off her. So I did what God said. I said, I command you to get off this woman in Jesus' name. Loose her and let her go. And as soon as I said that, she looked up and said, the pain is gone. It's gone.
Amen.
Praise God. Man, I got so high after that, I told the rest of the team, y'all minister to her, I gotta go. I was just so elated at the miracle that Jesus had done. But it wasn't because I had any special power or any special ability. It was because I was a simple Christian who recognized the authority of the name of Jesus. And I took that name as commissioned by Jesus and I spoke it against the spirit that was tormenting that woman. Praise God.
Amen.
The name of Jesus works wonders. It not only works wonders in ministry situations, but God has authorized you to use the name of Jesus even in your own personal situations. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Somebody tormenting you on a job? Oh, use the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not saying that they're going to start being nice to you, but I'm saying that you can bind some spirits that's working on your job in the name of Jesus. Praise God. Let me share another story with you. I share these stories with you because you need to know that this stuff works. And what I'm preaching to you is true. Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. You need to know your pastor knows what he's talking about most of the time. I don't know everything. And there's no man in the world that knows everything.
Amen.
But I try, when I do get up here to talk to you, I try to talk to you about what I do know. But I was in a situation with there was a young lady at work who just continued to harass me and just started just calling me names and stuff like that, just so disrespectful. And, you know, I didn't know what to do about it. I didn't know whether I should write her up and punish her, you know, because I was the supervisor of that section. You know, I didn't know whether I should use my authority to destroy her life or, you know, but as a Christian, I didn't want to do that. So, you know, I went home at lunchtime, you know, where I worked on the military base and we lived on the base, and so I could go home in 5 minutes and pray and eat whatever. So I went home and just began to pray and spend time with God and said, God, how do I deal with this situation? I don't know what to do with this girl. Should I discipline her? And the Lord said, speak to the spirit behind that girl in my name and command and bind it. Command it to stop doing what it's doing. So I just spoke into the air. I said, in the name of Jesus, you evil spirit that's influencing, and I named the person. I said, I bind you in Jesus' name, and I command you to cease and desist your activities. I tell you, it was amazing. I went back to work, and she was totally changed. Totally changed.
Amen.
I mean, she started talking to me nice, started respecting me, and never again from that time forward did any nasty thing come out of her mouth. And I realized it was an evil spirit that was just influencing her. Praise God. Amen. God, the name of Jesus works miracles in your life. I could tell you story after story after story. I have seen God heal bodies. I've seen God heal cancer. I have seen God do wonderful things in my ministry, in my life, amongst my family. My daughters can tell you how God has touched their bodies on a number of occasions when we just simply prayed and use the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Amen. I don't mean to brag, but I'm going to brag on this one. I've saved a lot of medical bills. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
we say that's a lot of money on that. I'm not telling you not to take your kids to the doctor. I've taken them to the hospital before. Praise God.
Yeah.
But I've seen less emergency rooms and less hospital bills because I have stood on the name of Jesus and saw God heal my kids. Praise God. Amen. And so I know this stuff works. I know what I'm telling you is true. I know that it'll work for you if you'll just work it. Praise God. Jesus has given you his name, a name that is above all names. And the name of Jesus works. See now, so if those who teach that God no longer works miracles, if what they're saying is true, then that means the name of Jesus is meaningless. Amen?
Amen.
If miracles have ceased, then that means the name of Jesus has ceased, because all miracles were always done in the name of Jesus in the New Testament times. Praise God. In the Old Testament, they were done in the name of Yahweh. That's Jesus. Jesus is Yahweh. Praise God. Amen. We serve a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All three of them are Yahweh. Praise God. So when Jesus came to earth, he didn't stop being Yahweh. So the name Jesus is true today. And so since the name of Jesus is still for today, then miracles are still for today. Praise God.
Amen.
Oh, praise the name of the Lord. See, if the name of Jesus doesn't work for miracles, then how can it work for salvation? The Bible tells us that it's only under one name that man can be saved. Praise God. It's only by calling on the name of the Lord that a person is saved. So if the name of Jesus does not work to heal my body, then how am I going to expect the name of Jesus to work to make sure I get to heaven when I die?
Amen.
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 So to say that miracles are no longer for today, you just said that the name of Jesus is not trustworthy. I'm so glad that I'm not in that category of people who don't believe that miracles are for today. Glory to God.
Amen.
Let me look at my notes here. You know, as a preacher, I depend on notes, so I know when I'm finished. This is Dr. Roper, who hopefully he'll be coming here in the near future. He always says, he who preaches with notes shall surely know when he is done. Glory to God. All right. So, but if God has broken, if he's broken any promise concerning the power to perform miracles in the name of Jesus, then we can't trust him to give us salvation. Now, let's look at Acts chapter 3. I want to just show you a couple of scriptures, then we're going to close out so you can see the power that's in the name of Jesus. Acts chapter 3. To give you background of this story so we don't have to read the whole chapter, Peter and John were walking they were going to church, and there was a beggar there, and the beggar tried to get some money out of Peter and John, and Peter and John told him, he says, that in verse six, Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name," say the name,
amen,
"the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And the Bible says that the man got up and walked and began leaping and jumping for joy. The name of Jesus worked back then, praise God.
Amen.
It still works.
Amen.
And let's skip on down to verse 11. It says, "And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering." Miracles going to get people's attention, praise God. Amen.
Amen.
If you want people's attention, begin to believe God to work miracles through you. "And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? But why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we made this man to walk?" And remember, see, that's that right there. Remember that as God begins to use you as his vessel, don't get caught up in yourself. It's because I've been living right. Well, it's because I've been praying and spending time with God. That's why these miracles are happening. No, it ain't by you. It's by the name of Jesus, praise God. It's by the mercy and grace of God.
Amen.
Once you start taking credit for them, these things, then that's when you get in trouble. I remember when I first, around the time I first got saved, and God used me powerfully one Sunday. The congregation just asked for me to pray, and I began praying, and the power of God began to move. Now I was only maybe 6 months old in the Lord. I think I've been saved only 6 months around that time. So, you know, any privilege to stand up before the people and do something, I thought was great. But the power of God began to move. People started getting delivered and healed and set free. And I walked out of there with a big head. I mean, my head was swelled. My head was a big fat balloon. I walked out of there and said, "Yes, I am the man. God uses me." And so the next week, you know, because God had moved so powerfully, then the pastors asked me again. In the morning when I came to church, they asked me, "Brother Troy, we're going to have you pray again. Because what a powerful move of God we had last week." And so, you know, I went up there with my pompous self and began praying again. It was dead. I mean, you're talking about dead. You know, I mean, nobody could say amen or anything. They was just waiting for me to shut up. After I was finished, thank you, Brother Troy, and they went on with the service. I was never asked to pray again. They never asked me to pray again after that. And God taught, and that day, see, at least I got enough sense to listen to God. That day, God told me it's because of your arrogance that I wasn't able to move. But if you humble yourself before me, son, I'm going to use you mightily. Praise God.
Amen.
So I said, well, because I was in love with God. You know, even though we're in love with God, we end up doing stupid stuff sometimes. Amen. So I was in love with God. So I said, okay, Father, I realized what I did. And so I humbled myself. And God has been using me ever since. Praise Jesus. I tell you, God is so good. He's so good. Go on, let's read on down. "The God of Abraham and of Isaac," verse 13, "and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied this, the Holy One, and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised up from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. But look at this. And his name," whose name?
His name.
Jesus' name, right?
Right.
"And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Praise God. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
It's the name of Jesus that gave this man perfect soundness. See, the name of Jesus is not just for the, was not just for Peter and Paul, praise God. It was not just for Peter and John. It was not just for James and John. The name of Jesus is for all of God's people. It didn't say those apostles, but it says him that believes. See, in Mark chapter 9, there was a man, he was casting out demons in the name of Jesus. And Peter got a little jealous, so he went to Jesus and said, Jesus, we saw God using your name to cast out demons, and we told him to stop. And Jesus said, hey, don't stop him. Nobody can say anything good about me and be against me. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. And so this man, he wasn't even one of the disciples of Jesus, and yet the name of Jesus was moving powerfully through that man. Glory to God. Let me show you one more scripture. We're going to close out. Because I can tell some of y'all getting tired. But I hope you're getting something out of this, because this is going to be needed in your life. You're going to run into situations, and either you're going to remember this word, or you're going to be calling pastor saying, Pastor, pray for me. Now, I will pray for you, praise God. But there's some situations you can handle yourself. What if pastor's phone ain't working? What if the power went off on my phone? What if I'm in the shower? I mean, I got to take a shower at least once a week. All right, I'm just kidding, y'all. All right. But what if I'm so sound asleep that I didn't pick up my phone? See, Jesus is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. And he's giving you authority in his name. See, this is like my pastor in Japan. You know, he had these ladies. How many of y'all ever watch those stupid ghost story things on television? I don't, but I mean, I hear about them. You know, how many of y'all believe that there's ghosts going in people's houses? I believe it in a sense, but this is what I really believe. I believe those are demons, not the spirits of dead people. And we were over in Okinawa, where there's a lot of dead people worship going on over there, ancestor worship. And so these ladies moved into a house, and of course, when you do that kind of stuff, demon spirits are going to come into people's houses. So they were in the house, and they would hear the thumping and the knocking and stuff every night. And so, you know, they got scared. And so they called my pastor over, and my pastor said, okay, I'm going to do this for y'all one time. I'm going to show you how to do it. He said, after that, I'm not coming over here no more. You need to learn to do this yourself. And he commanded the evil spirits that were in the house to cease and desist their activity and leave. And told him, you have no authority in this house anymore. After that, the ladies told him they haven't had any more problems with the demons since. He said, well, if they ever return, he said, that's what you need to do. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And that's what y'all need to learn to do. You have issues in your home, that's your home, praise God.
Amen.
You are a child of God. God has provided you with that home. Satan has no authority in your home. He only has as much authority as you let him have. You need to learn to speak the name of Jesus and exercise the authority that God has given you through the name of Jesus. Let's look at one more passage of scripture, and then we're going to close out and go on home. Luke chapter 10. See, I know too many churches don't teach this stuff. But you're going to get it here, praise God. You're going to get the teaching here. What you do with it is your business. But you will get that teaching here. I'm so glad for the men of God that taught me these things that I'm teaching you. I'm so glad they taught me these things, because I don't even know if I'd still be saved today. You hear me? And if I was saved, I might be in heaven by now, because I wouldn't have known some of these things. I mean, the devil will try to kill me I don't know how many times. And I ain't lying to you. I can tell you some stories. But I think I've told you enough stories already. Amen. All right, somebody, I think I heard from Martha say amen on that one. It's like, hurry up, Pastor. No, I'm just kidding with you, baby. Anyway. Luke chapter 10. It says, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, Even the devils are subject unto us. How? Through thy name. Say, through thy name.
Through thy name.
The devils are subject unto us through the name of Jesus. Praise God.
Amen.
And now look at verse 18. It goes on to say, and he said unto them, this is Jesus talking now, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. See, Satan is a defeated foe. Praise God.
Amen.
He only has as much power as you allow him to have in your life. Behold, verse 19, behold, I give unto you power. Say power.
Power.
To tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Praise God.
Amen.
God has given you authority. That word power comes from the Greek word, which means authority. And the other word power, which you talked about the enemy, comes from a Greek word that's talking about miraculous power. Even when Satan exercises miraculous power, you have authority over his power. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the policeman. The truck, a Big Mac truck, is more powerful than the policeman, but the policeman has more authority than that truck. So a policeman can stand in front of the truck and say stop, and that truck must stop. Why? Because the policeman has all the power of the city or state in back of him. Glory to God. So the policeman has the authority to stop the truck. It reminds me of a woman who was over in, I can't remember, some part of Africa. And she was confronted by the witch doctor over there. And the witch doctor said, we're gonna have a contest tonight. We're gonna see who's more powerful, your God or me. And so she began praying, and she's praying, and she's praying, and she don't know what to do. And God said, just go out there and meet with him. And so she went out there, and so the man went through all his chant and everything. You know, he's has arms and legs folded, and he starts floating up in the air. And so then after that, she got up, walked over to him, put her hands on him, and said, come out of him in the name of Jesus. And he, boom, fell on the ground. And he got scared and started running away. Praise God.
Amen.
And that whole village gave their lives to Christ. Praise Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. See, God's authority has more weight and power than Satan. Because the name of Jesus is powerful all over the universe. Praise God.
Amen.
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 Stand to your feet. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Did you learn anything today?
Amen.
Glory to God. I get a little insecure sometimes when y'all be so quiet, but my wife tells me y'all just sitting there trying to soak it in, so I'm going to believe that. Amen. Hallelujah.